Are you seeing any of your favorite birds at your feeders or favorite birding hotspots? Spring migration is underway, and we will celebrate with our guests and welcome your sightings and your bird-related questions. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Let us know if you're a devoted birder or a novice, and what appeals to you about bird watching. Tell us what you are watching these days, and share your questions about attracting and helping the birds. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us. Yes, tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. And you can also post a photo of a bird. Perhaps a Baltimore Oriole has found your backyard feeder and the oranges and the grape jelly, and you got a photo of it. I know they just started returning to parts of Wisconsin, so let us see that photo or any others. Let me welcome our guest. Carl Schwartz is a past president of the Wisconsin Society for Ornithology, and now is the editor of the organization's newsletter, The Badger Birder. He also chairs the boards of Bird City, Wisconsin, and the Western Great Lakes Bird and Bat Observatory. Good morning, and thank you so much for being back with us.
Oh, good morning, Joy. Glad to be here, particularly at this time of year. Certainly my favorite time of the year, that's for sure.
Why is it your favorite time of year?
Well, I love spring. Everybody loves spring to begin with, and you add that the return of all of our neotropical migrants, all the colorful warblers and grosbeaks and orioles and everything. It just makes for a special time of year. And I think in this state particularly, I think the Fish and Wildlife Service did a survey a few years ago and showed Wisconsin to be had the second largest percentage of bird watchers of any state in the country, and certainly by absolute numbers. The other leading states were like Vermont and West Virginia. So in absolute numbers, we certainly stand out, and you see that in the organizational activities. Things like Bird City, Wisconsin, and the State Ornithological Society, and all the Audubon chapters. There's a lot of organized birding activities, and a lot of them are centered in May, when there's so many things to go out and do. I know my calendar gets really busy this time of year. Lots of bird festivals. The Horicon Marsh Bird Festival is this weekend. I think the following weekend is the Shequamigan Bay Bird Festival. Go ahead.
I was going to say, we certainly like our birds in Wisconsin, that's for sure. And I would consider myself a novice bird watcher, but I enjoy going out on the search for that rare bird or the bird that the one that I haven't seen yet. And this Saturday is International Migratory Bird Day, and there are, as you mentioned, events happening all over the state over the next month or so, celebrating the birds. What is the intent behind International Migratory Bird Day?
Well, International Migratory Bird Day was launched back in 1993 by Partners in Flight, an organization dedicated to keeping common birds common, and also to helping people pay more attention to the migratory birds, the birds we share with our neighbors in Central and South America. We get to enjoy these birds only for 3 or 4 months a year, and they spend the rest of the time either in migration or down in the tropics someplace. So that was the intent of it, to just draw attention to that migratory cycle. And 24 years ago, it was the second Saturday in May was designated as International Migratory Bird Day, and now that's really broadened particularly with a recognition of this shared population of birds. IMBD Bird Day is being celebrated down in the tropics more in the fall than it is in the spring. They celebrate the return of all these birds, and here in the United States, There are IMBD activities that start in March and April down in the southern states and then follow the birds up north. And the second Saturday in May is sort of the height of the migration here in Wisconsin, and so that's why you have so many activities this weekend.
I was wondering if you could update us. I was noticing on some brooding Facebook sites and websites that the weather pattern, the winds were discouraging birds from flying to Wisconsin or flying north, but apparently that's turned around now. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I was out on a field trip on Saturday, and people were disappointed at the scarcity of the migrants. And several people observed from talking to friends that it was a great time to be a birder in Missouri and Arkansas, with all of these birds sort of bottled up by the fronts and unable to move. But you know, migration, these birds have this hormonal urge to migrate, and sometimes they'll overcome the weather, and the weather has actually changed a little bit in the last couple of days. And I, too, have been watching the postings, and I noticed there was a posting from the Pheasant Branch Conservancy in Middleton overnight saying that they had 23 warbler species had been sighted by various people over there in that area yesterday. And
wow.
Lake Park in Milwaukee had a dozen different species. So, I've noticed, even in my own area with the orioles and the grosbeaks are just finally showing up. So, those people who've had their oranges and grape jelly ready, this is the time to get them out there and help attract those birds to your yard and help, sustain them. I mean, one of the reasons we feed is to enjoy the birds, but we also help supplement their diets, and so doing that this time of year, does play a role in helping them make that migration.
I noticed that the theme of this year's Migratory Bird Day is helping birds along the way, and it's looking to highlight the importance of stopover sites and their habitats. Talk some about, why is this so important? Why should we help birds along the way?
Yeah, and I think that's there have been studies that look at the dangers to birds and where birds face the greatest dangers and the greatest struggle along the way, and the population losses year to year are greatest en route between their breeding sites here in the northern United States and Canada. And then back again to the tropics. So it emphasizes the importance that individual people can play with keeping native plants in their backyards, with doing supplemental feeding, whether it's oranges and grape jelly for orioles and grosbeaks, or sunflower seed for a lot of other birds. There's just so many things we can do, but it also emphasizes the importance of public lands and the need to maintain sites. There's a big controversy right now about maintaining the area just north of Coromandel State Park and keeping it from being developed into a golf course because it's such an important migratory stopover site. I'm helping stage a big International Migratory Bird Day celebration up at the Western Great Lakes Bird and Bat Observatory a week from Saturday on the 20th, where we'll have all sorts of people from the Fish and Wildlife Service and the DNR and the local land trust, talking about the importance of migratory stopover sites. And it's being held at the Forest Beach Migratory Preserve, which was a sort of a pioneering development of turning a failing golf course into habitat for migratory birds. And it's been an enormous success in the last 5 years that site has been converted over into a stopover site. More than 250 species of birds have been observed in that property. So there's wonderful things people can do. And this event up there at Forest Beach a week from Saturday, it's designed to showcase all of that.
Great. We have just a minute before news. Where is the Forest Beach exactly?
Forest Beach is about 5 miles north of Port Washington. It's right on the Lake Michigan shoreline, 4970 Country Club Road Port Washington, and it's going to be one of the largest Bird Day celebrations in the state. And because of Bird City, Wisconsin, there's more than 100 communities in the state that will be having their own International Migratory Bird Day celebration over the course of the year. So it's a really special event here in Wisconsin.
Well, we are welcoming your bird sightings, your bird questions, your favorite birds, why you love birding, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network.
Rise up this morning.
We're talking about birds. What kind of birds are you seeing outside of your doorstep? This Saturday is International Migratory Bird Day, a celebration of the birds that travel hundreds of or thousands of miles each year between their winter and summer homes. So we are talking with a bird expert about the many different events that are going on around the state to celebrate migratory birds, and we'll talk some more about how to get out and how to see them, how to attract them to our yards, and we're welcoming your questions and your sightings at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post a question or a comment or a photo on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We'd love to see some little birds. Our guest is Carl Schwartz, a past president of the Wisconsin Society for Ornithology, and is now the editor of the organization's newsletter, The Badger Birder. He also chairs the boards of the Bird City, Wisconsin, and the Western Great Lakes Bird and Bat Observatory. We do have a photo from Bev on Facebook. Very cute little bird, yellow with black striped wings. And she says, this pine warbler arrived in Rhinelander 2 weeks ago. So she took a little pine warbler photo. I'm going to be on a boat ride. It's a Natural Resources Foundation field trip that's taking place on the Mississippi River this Saturday on Migratory Bird Day. And we're going to get into a pontoon boat, and we're going to, look through over the shorelines of the Mississippi, and we're promised to see a lot of warblers there, too, including one that I can't remember how to pronounce, but it's fairly rare, I think. So warblers are a big deal, aren't they, Carl?
Oh, really, really. And I'll bet you that warbler is the Prothonotary.
That's it.
That is they really like, they're cavity nesters, and they nest in old trees basically along rivers, and they're an ungodly yellow, just a blaze of yellow and gray. Really a stunning bird with a sharp call. I happened to hear one, I never saw it, but I heard him Saturday up in the White River Marsh. So they're back in the state. So look forward to that.
Wonderful.
That should be great. Yeah. Yeah.
How about
yeah.
the pine? You know anything about the pine warbler? That's what Bev saw in Rhinelander.
Yeah, the pine warblers. I had one come through my yard a week ago. So I'm not surprised they're up in Rhinelander already. They're one of the early migrants. They breed here in Wisconsin. They're also a very, very, very pretty and striking bird. And again, a lot of the warblers, feature these different patterns of yellow and gray and black and green and blue and some with some red. I saw a yellow warbler yesterday or Monday up in Horicon Marsh. And the males have these bright red streaks on their breast. Otherwise, they're yellow all over and very distinctive call as well. So it's really a great time of year. And I hope people also keep sight of the fact that, if they don't feel they know enough and want to learn more, taking advantage of some of these International Migratory Bird Day events and festivals. The Horicon Marsh Festival is wonderfully timed this year, right at the height of migration, They always do it during Mother's Day weekend, and there have been some great arrivals. More than 200 people were lined up along Highway 49 on Sunday looking for two really unusual birds, the glossy ibis. One glossy ibis, normally seen only on the Florida Gulf Coast in the States, and three white-faced ibis, which wander a little more, but they're mostly residents of the Texas and Louisiana Gulf Coasts. And so to have all four of these birds up here along Highway 49, along with the breeding pelicans and black-necked stilts and trumpeter swans, common gallinules. It was just a stunning display and really unusual. I wrote in a post to the Wisconsin Birding Network listserv that probably no place else in North America could you see that assemblage of birds in one place. And you know, Horicon Marsh is such a special place that it really attracts a number of amazing species. So I'd encourage people to get up and enjoy that festival this weekend.
Yeah, that sounds great. I have been to that Horicon Bird Festival in past years, and of all things, the year that we attended, it was a big commotion because an ibis had shown up, and I don't remember if it was one
That's
of
right.
the ones, and it was a big thrill for everybody.
It was. Yep. They do seem to be showing up here in the state. The white-faced ibis is actually there's a wonderful project going on right now, the Wisconsin Breeding Bird Atlas 2. It's a 5-year project. We're in the third season of it now, over 5 years, to try and catalog all of the breeding birds in Wisconsin and where they breed and which areas. Literally. I think last I looked, 1,200 different volunteer observers out in the state keeping track of their sightings and breeding activity. And white-faced ibis is one of the birds that's sort of on the watch list because they've been seen often enough in the state, people are wondering if perhaps that they're breeding. And this survey's already found 11 new species that were not documented in the last Breeding Bird Atlas 20 years ago. So... things are changing. There are new species showing up in the state. Blue grosbeak, for the first time, was recorded breeding last summer. So some of these southern birds are certainly moving up into Wisconsin as the climate changes.
Interesting. Let's go take some calls. We have Jane in Superior with us. Hi, Jane.
Yes, good morning. Wonderful program. I just wanted to share an event that's going to be taking place in Superior along the shores of Western Lake Superior on May 21st, it'll be West Wisconsin Land Trust in partnership with Bird City Superior and Wisconsin Stopover Initiative and a private Camp Amnicon, which West Wisconsin Land Trust partnered with to put a conservation easement on, and then they opened their private camp to research. So Our project will be, again, going along the shore of Lake Superior, and including Camp Amnicon. And we're going to be focusing on the migratory birds, of course. We'll have Kim Grevels and Bill Volkert with us on that trip. But we're also going to be talking about the different habitats that are important for stopover. So not just talking about the birds, which is fantastic in itself, but also pointing out the significance of the different types of stopover sites, including Wisconsin Point and the St. Louis River. And also, I was going to say, I saw yesterday, I'm not used to seeing brown creepers in groups. They seem to be usually solitary. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but I had like three or four all of a sudden just hanging out right at up my side of my window. So that was
cool. Yeah, that's nice. When you see in migration like that, you'll often see, you know, little groups, little flocks of birds coming through, and that's that makes for a special sighting. That's a wonderful event up there. I'm familiar with it. I talked to Kim, who runs the Stopover Initiative, and she and Bill will make that a special event for folks up there.
Wonderful. And I didn't know exactly what a brown creeper was, but Chris Molina, my producer, sent me a photo, and it's looks like it's little tiny bird that wants to. He's on a tree anyway. You know, like he's not a nuthatch type bird, is he, or is he?
Well, not in looks and form, but they behave similarly. They talk about. Excuse me, I got a cough. Creepers creep up. You often see creepers going up a tree. They'll creep up the tree looking for insects in the bark. And then when they get to the top, they'll fly down and creep back up again. Nuthatches sort of work their way down a tree more often. And the creepers creep up and nuthatches fall down. So that's how birders remember that. So, yeah. So.
All right. Thank you, Jane, for letting us know. You know, briefly, what is, she said Superior is a bird city, and I know bird cities are a big deal. What exactly is a bird city?
The Bird City program was set up. I actually retired from the newspaper business about 8 years ago to help organize the Bird City project in the state. And it is a program that is similar in format to Tree City, the Arbor Day Foundation project to recognize communities that do good things for urban tree conservation. Bird City does good thing. It recognizes communities, now 101 communities in the state, who have committed themselves to doing good things for urban bird conservation, to protect birds from hazards like outdoor calves and window strikes, to preserve habitat for birds, to educate people about birds. And one of the requirements to be a bird city is that you have to have an International Migratory Bird Day celebration.
Oh.
And that's why Wisconsin has become such a focus for IMBD celebrations. And the Bird City concept has spread now. There's now a Bird City Minnesota project. There's Bird Town Indiana. There's Bird Town Pennsylvania. We're working with the Texas Audubon and the Texas Parks and Recreation to build a Bird City Texas program. Iowa is at work on something that's probably going to be called Bird Friendly Iowa, but very similar to the construction of Bird City.
Yeah.
And it's been a very successful way of spreading, of basically building partnerships between volunteer birders, who love birds, and urban officials, parks directors, foresters. Even mayors and aldermen have gotten involved in this, all interested in making their cities more bird friendly. And we stress them.
Let me jump in, Carl, because we have limited time and more callers that I want to get on the air. Bill in Fond du Lac is with us. Hi, Bill. Bill, are you there?
Hello.
Yes, Bill, go ahead.
Hi, my name is Bill Miller. Carl knows me quite well. Carl is the chair of the board of directors of the organization that I am in charge of, the Western Great Lakes Bird and Bat Observatory. And I don't know if Carl talked about our International Migratory Bird Day event yet.
You did, I think, in conjunction with that Forest Beach, Carl. Are those two one in the same?
That's right. That's right. That's Bill runs the observatory up there at Forest Beach, and he's running our IMBD celebration up there on May 20th. So, yeah, we did talk about it a little bit earlier, Bill.
Yeah,
and what kind of birds? Quite a big event.
What kind of birds can we expect if we go there, Carl?
Well, I think Bill would know. Bill's been up there more recently than I have. Bill, what are you seeing up there these days?
Well, I think that what's likely to change in the next few days is we've been waiting on many, many stalled migrants that were some distance to the south of us, and it seems like just the last 48 hours has changed that dramatically. I just read reports from various places in the state, so the whole complement of warbler species, lots of other songbirds, and some shorebirds are likely to show up within the next week to 15 days. And fortunately for us, our International Migratory Bird Day is positioned on Saturday, May 20th. So we should have we could easily have more than 100 species there that day.
Oh, my goodness, does that sound great. Well, again, because of the breaking news from late yesterday, we're going to have to shorten our hour a little bit. Let me ask you, Carl, what are some of your best bird watching tips for people who may have never done this before?
Well, the best tip is just to get outdoors. The more time you spend outdoors in interesting places, the more likely you are to be able to see different things. And I encourage people to, you know, try and have a good pair of binoculars. Find a pair that works well for you. Go to a good optics store. You don't have to buy an expensive pair, but buy a pair that works well for your eyesight. If you go to a place like over there in Madison with Eagle Optics, yeah, or a place like that, you'll get really good treatment and find a pair that works for you. But then get out. Also, you know, having bird feeders is one way and then having native plants in your yard, you know, attract birds to your yard. Talk to people about, the internet now, you can, you know, look up bird friendly native plants on the internet, or go to a good nursery and plant some things that will attract those birds to your yard, where you can look at them up close and personal. Otherwise, you know, go to an IMBD event, go to a festival, join WSO or join a local bird club, where you're with people who might know a little bit more than you do. And I that's how I got started. I was somebody who was a backyard birder, but I started out hanging around better birders, and it's amazing what happens. Then you learn from them, and you go on field trips with groups like the State Ornithological Society or the local bird clubs. All that helps you. Yeah.
Here's a great comment from Glenn on Facebook. He writes, I lost my eyesight in early 2016, but lucky for me, my birding means that I now know most bird calls. I have not minded this year's slow migration, as it gives me time to practice my bird voice identification. I now sometimes hear birds since I can't see them. In this category yesterday, I have heard a summer tanager in Madison.
Oh, wow.
And along with several other migrants, like the black-throated green and yellow warbler. So here's someone who's IDing birds through their song. Isn't that wonderful?
That's a wonderful. Yeah, that's wonderful. Now, there's somebody who appreciates a skill he's done, even that he's learned along the way, even more important. I think a lot of birders have found that birding by ear is a wonderful way to do it, particularly, you know, 2 weeks from now when the trees are all leafed out and you can still hear those birds, even if it's hard to find them, and there's a great deal of satisfaction in that. And if you recognize their song, you know what you're looking for, and that helps too.
So Carl,
learning.
We have to let you go. What is the bird, in just 10 seconds, what are you hoping to see next?
Oh, wow. I'm hoping I've only seen about 6 species of warblers. So there's at least 30 more species of warblers that I will look forward to seeing in the next 2 weeks.
Sounds great. Carl Schwartz, past president of the Wisconsin Society for Ornithology. More information on Migratory Bird Day on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And though my love-